Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, this is Michael sitting in for Michael on the Savage Nation. The phone number, of course, is the same. I'm not even going to read it to you. You know what it is already. I mean, to me, this is not really the beginning of the new year. I began the new year last week when I was on the air, but here we are. I don't know why people still have vacation. I drive on the roads like a ghost town, like nuclear winter. Where is everybody? If there's such a meltdown in the economy, how can everybody be on vacation? The roads, the bridges, the tunnels are empty here in the Bay Area. Where are they all? How could they all have so much money if there's such a meltdown? Well, because a lot of things are myths. Sure, there's been an economic meltdown for certain segments of society. The poor got poorer, in other words, and the rich got richer. With rare exception, the really rich were so engorged with their own self-belief that they gave money to the biggest crook on the planet who robbed them. But by and large, the rich got richer and the poor got poorer, which means nothing's changed at all. Now, as you well know, Al Gore is nowhere to be seen now that global temperatures have cooled, like the groundhog he is. In fact, groundhogs are a higher form of life than Al Gore, in my opinion. Al Gore disappears every time there's a monster cooling trend in America. It turns out that everything you knew about global warming was false. That's why they're calling it climate change. You notice they don't call it global warming anymore. It's called climate change. But earlier this year, predictions were rife that the North Pole would melt entirely in 2008, and the poor polar bears would be stranded on the ice floes. Well, instead, the Arctic ice saw a substantial recovery owing to cooler weather, and sea ice has ended the year at the same level as 1979, ever since satellite imagery was first enacted. So the fact of the matter is there is no global warming. It's a complete myth. It's put forward by the same SOBs who are lying to you about everything else, including the Madoff scandal. The big issue today, of course, is the Middle East. Should Israel withdraw from Gaza immediately? Should Hamas be crushed before Israel withdraws? These are important questions. If you want to call about that, I know we can argue over it. But before we start arguing over Palestinians and Israelis, remember one thing. If there was a simple solution to this biblical problem, it would have been enacted by now. It doesn't seem to me that there is a solution that I can think of. And by the way, since I'm touching on the Middle East, let me ask a few questions. I notice that the Quakers, the American Friends Service Committee, the self-righteous Quakers, are out there marching in lockstep with the Hamas group. It's interesting to me that if they're so holy and so righteous and so concerned about humanitarian problems in the Gaza Strip because of the Israeli incursion, where were these good Quakers during the bloodbath in Bombay? How come the Quakers were not quaking about the Islamists' bloodbath in Bombay? Which goes, again, to the same point. What about all of these other left-wing radicals who are marching in solidarity with Hamas? Where were they when Bombay was bleeding? How come we didn't see all the actors and the actresses who are now suddenly crying out in favor of Hamas? Make no mistake about it, the Palestinian people themselves are suffering. But this is as much a result of Hamas having seized the Palestinian territory of Gaza as any other reason. Don't tell me that the Palestinians want to be ruled by a bunch of Nazi thugs. I don't believe it. I believe that the Palestinian people deserve a lot better than a group of armed killers who kill their own kind if they dare stand up to them. The fact of the matter is, if you have a sovereign state, it's not going to lay down and die because a group of terrorists don't like its existence. Now, having said all of that, You have to ask yourself, how long can this go on until it blows up in all of our faces? The answer is, I don't know. It's in God's hands. But if you look at the Bible, you'll see that this has been going on since biblical days. And no matter what you say, no matter what I say, nothing is going to change. Israel's been kicked around for years. They gave back the Gaza Strip. They didn't get a neighbor who wanted to live in peace with them. Instead, they got 6,000 rockets fired into their own cities and villages. And I know to many of you, these are not real dangerous rockets because not enough Jews died. In other words, if more Jews had died, you'd say the rockets were dangerous. But the fact of the matter is the people ran into their bomb shelters. And if you want to live that way, then ask the British what it was like to live under the barrage of V-1 and V-2 rockets that Hitler was firing, which were random and not targeted. It broke them emotionally. They didn't know where the rocket would land. They heard it coming in, and their nerves were shattered from it, which is exactly what Hamas wants to do or wanted to do to the Israelis, which is break their will to live by frightening them, by terrorizing them with, in this case, small rockets, which have shrapnel in them, but nevertheless are lethal. The fact of the matter is no sovereign nation can or will accept or should accept a neighbor firing rockets at it. They're going to have to use their military. That's what a military is for. So if you want to talk about this Gordian knot and try to unravel it, give me a call at 1-800-449-8255. We can also talk about the economy on the show today. I have a lot to say about the economy today on the show. I know a lot about the economy, a lot more than you may think. There are new stories about the economy that are worth talking about. According to an article I read, which is phenomenal, the next element of our society that's going to melt down, or the economy rather, is commercial real estate. We've seen a meltdown, of course, in residential real estate, but thus far commercial real estate is rather immune. But the vacancy rates are growing, the vacancy rates in commercial buildings. In other words, they overbuilt, in plain English. Everything is, boom and bust, so we're going into a bust cycle. Did you know that Bernie Madoff took a deposit from someone for $10 million 6 days before his arrest? Did you know that? That Bernie Madoff accepted $10 million from an investor just 6 days before he was arrested for allegedly running a mammoth fraud, according to a complaint filed in federal bankruptcy court. These and other stories are all found on michaelsavage.com. I tend to, I think, collect the stories that I think are worth radio time. That's why they're on the website. And I run a picture site. Each story has a picture. It's like a cartoon site. I admit it. And that's fine. I think it's easier to scan the pictures and look at them that way. And if you want to scan michaelsavage.com and come back to me with a call, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. We can talk about many. I mean, there's so many. I have enough topics here for 5 weeks, never mind 5 days. Have I touched on John Travolta's loss yet, Beowulf? I don't even know. Well, I'm going to do it right now. I want to talk about John Travolta's loss, his son. I was so sickened by the vermin in the media for attacking John Travolta for not using medication on his son that I got furious over the weekend. I want to know why the media vultures who were beholden through interlocking corporate directorships to the pharmaceutical industry have been attacking John Travolta while he's mourning his son's death. For God's sakes, he lost a son that he loved. And yet you vermin, most of whom have no children, most of you are drugged up, most of you are sexual deviants, and you attack him because he's a Scientologist? Well, let me ask you something. Why are Scientologists persecuted as a group for their beliefs regarding not using medication when Christian Scientists who hold similar beliefs but are far more liberal are not criticized by you rats in the media? I'll let you ponder that, you pot-headed ruins. Your ruins, your relics. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I spent 10 minutes outlining what I want to talk about today, but there are so many other topics. I can get to them over the next few days. You know, another huge topic, and I hate to throw in yet another one, but my mind is racing right now, is the astonishing appointment by Obama of a totally unqualified hack to be the head of the CIA. And really worries me that they take a hack like Leon Panetta, the former chief of staff of Bill Clinton, a man who has no intelligence experience whatsoever in a time of terror, and put a hack like that in charge of the CIA. Now, a first-rate CIA man was put in there, but left-wing bloggers left-wing bloggers apparently changed the course of human history. Obama withdrew that appointment and puts in this hack, Leon Panetta. What worries me about this is that Leon Panetta is probably going to use the CIA for domestic surveillance to protect Obama from domestic competitors or domestic enemies, in their opinion. It worries me very deeply. And I don't think he should be the director of the CIA. And I hope that the Republicans will do their job and ask, how in the world can we take a political hack like this without any field experience or intelligence experience and put him in charge of the CIA in a time of terror? But you know what? I gave up on the Republicans about 5 years ago. So I expect nothing to protect us from the fact that we have no protector in the CIA. I want to remind all of the listeners that we're live in Los Angeles right now on KGIL. Finally back live, 1260 on the dial, live in Los Angeles. I love that city. And as a result, I'm going to give out a free copy of Psychological Nudity to everybody from KGIL today who gets on the air. So remember, this is the Savage Nation, and you know how to reach us. Larry, Los Angeles, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I must tell you, I was at a demonstration last week on Wilshire Boulevard. I support Israel. And the other side of the street was Palestinian supporters. Most of them were not Palestinians. All the media covered the Palestinians, number one. And number two, they made us take our Israeli flag down, but the Palestinian flag was allowed to fly.
But wait a minute. Who made you take your flag down? Who?
The Los Angeles Police Department made us take down the Israeli flag.
Take it down from where, Larry?
It was attached to a bus stop in Los Angeles. They said it was city property. But meanwhile, the Palestinian flag was attached to also city property. They were allowed to fly their flag.
Now, when you say most of the demonstrators in favor of Hamas across the street were not Palestinians, who were they? Were they the normal gabble of left-wingers?
Exactly, precisely. The normal losers from Answer L.A., anarchists, people that are just miserable human beings. The people.
Yes, they're monster, horrible. These are the same people who burned down buildings during G8 protests. In other words, the rabble of the left is somehow in love with Hamas. Do you know how long they would last if they lived in Gaza? Left-wing scum like this. Tell me how long Hamas would let these left-wingers live.
2 seconds.
2 seconds, they'd be gone. Larry, how did you know I was live today on KGIL?
You are live. Thank God you're live in Los Angeles.
No, I know, but how did you find out I was live again?
It was in the L.A. Times.
Shocking. Shocking. The L.A. Times wrote about Michael Savage? How did they break the media blackout on me?
Well,
you know, I read today that a female lookalike for David Duke, after a botched sex change operation, who writes conservative books, so-called, has been banned by NBC. I had a laugh. I've been banned by NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, and CNN for so long. How come that hasn't been news?
Michael, you are the beacon of radio.
I am. I am the beacon. I'm the beacon that goes around, round, 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 round. Larry, stay on. Beautiful to have you on the show. Free copy of Psychological Nudity. To him. And here we go. Any other topic, of course, if you want to talk about it, not just the Middle East. I told you, you know, you can't unravel this Gordian knot. Now, I read a new solution to the problem by John Bolton. I don't know, a three-party solution. Give Gaza back to the Egyptians. Sounds like a good idea. Let the Egyptians try to manage the fanatics in the Gaza Strip. It used to be ruled by Egypt until 1967. I really don't know why Egypt doesn't get the Gaza Strip. There's no way in the world you're going to take a disconnected piece of land on the Mediterranean Sea and then connect it up with the West Bank for a future Palestinian state. That's never going to happen. Impossible. So why shouldn't Egypt take over the administration of the Gaza Strip? I don't understand that one. I think that they're afraid of the Palestinians. If you ask me the real reason, that's the reason. Then give the West Bank to Jordan? Well, I mean, I want to remind you of Jordan. I saw Queen Noor on Fox News over the weekend, and she was lying, and she got away with it either because the Fox News interviewer was ignorant of history or complicit in the revision of history. They talked about 1970 when Palestinians tried to create their own government within a government in Jordan. The Palestinians were led into Jordan. They created a government within a government, and in essence, they tried to take over Jordan. It was called Black September. The Jordanian army moved against the Palestinians, and so far as I know, they killed thousands, not hundreds, but thousands of Palestinians. That is, the Jordanian military killed thousands of Palestinians during the Black September uprising. In fact, the Palestinian people themselves call it the Black September massacre, if I'm not mistaken. The media doesn't seem to understand that this went on and doesn't want to understand that this went on. Queen Noor said it wasn't as bad as people said. She was lying, and the Fox News broadcaster should have caught her. But I don't expect that much from those people anymore. If you'd like to talk about this or any other topic, that's fine. Any other topic, frankly, would be welcome right now because I think it would be more fun. As you well know, I like to talk about politics, but, you know, I'm just as interested in health, medicine, food, diet, people, whatever you want to talk about. It is a Monday. It's Blue Monday out there. It isn't that blue for me. I mean, just another Monday in January. So what? Thank God, you know, we're here and we live in a great country. And we'll also survive Obama. And we can take any of the other topics that you'd like to talk about. New York City, WOR. Manny, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Yes. Manny, quickly, go ahead, please.
Yes. Dr. Savage, how are you?
Manny, please Hello? Make your – Manny, would you please make your point?
Yes. Dr. Savage, first I want to tell you that you're getting better by the day, and I can never be so overwhelmed. I'm never enough overwhelmed how truthful, and you get always straight to the point. The reason I'm calling
okay.
is the reason I'm calling is like this. I have, you know, I'm a Jewish businessman. I have many Muslim friends. I don't hate Muslims at all. I like them. But it came to a point that I'm so outraged of the disregard and the disrespect of the Arabic media to human rights that I have to bring out my point, which because usually they don't let you talk, those Arab media, they never let
All right,
you
I'm talk. Letting you talk, so what's your point?
Yeah, the point is like this. In Gaza, there is no civilians, no normal civilians. All the Palestinian civilians are hostages by this dirty Hamas terrorist. And the best proof to
Let's pause. You're 100% right. Hamas is the equivalent of the Nazi movement within within Germany. Not all Germans were Nazis, but it is true that all Nazis were Germans at that time. So the fact of the matter, well, I'll be right back. Stay on the line.
Savage.
So we see all of the usual left-wing suspects crying about the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, and perhaps they're sincere, but the question is, where were they when Bombay was bleeding? Let's put Israel aside. We don't expect them to have any sympathy for dead Jews. That we understand they're a bunch of Jew haters. But where were they when the Hindus were bleeding in the streets of Bombay? Now, if they will not come out for humanitarian crises around the world, but only when it occurs in an Arab country, you have to then assume that they're simply a front for Hamas, which is a terrorist group according to the United States government. There are also front groups for Hamas in America. There are groups right here in America who have attacked me regularly who are PR arms for Hamas. It is the government's job to arrest them and try them for sympathizing with a terrorist organization. But the government apparently didn't want to take on the propagandist arm for Hamas. So I had to do it. And I'm still in that battle, whether you know it or not. I told you that. Many of you don't understand what's going on, but I'll update you when time comes. But let's stick to the bigger picture. The Middle East, if you want to talk about. The shocking appointment of a Clinton-era hack, Leon Panetta, to head up the number one intelligence agency in America, the CIA, a nightmare. The Republicans should oppose it from day one. There is absolutely no justification for Leon Panetta to be heading up the CIA. It's an outrage. It's the greatest outrage I've seen in the Obama appointments. Thus far, I've really had nothing to say about most of them. I happen to know that some of them are very liberal. Some of them were moderate. Some were even a bit conservative. But they were all competent. Leon Panetta is not a competent man to run the CIA, in my opinion. New York City, WOR. Gary, welcome to the program.
Dr. Savage.
Yes.
I generally agree with you when it comes to the Israeli-Hamas conflict or anything involving that part of the country, basically. However, there is one thing that you said earlier that I have to disagree with you about, and that is you said that you'd think the Palestinian people don't want the Nazis that are in charge of Hamas, that they're not to blame. They're the ones who elected Hamas in the first place. So I actually do think many of the Palestinian people are actually to blame for that.
Well, you could put it that way. You could say that if they elected a murderous leadership that's committed to the destruction of Israel, then they have to live with the consequences. I think that's what you're arguing, aren't you?
That's exactly what I'm arguing. I mean, I don't want
to. Well, then it becomes the issue of that there's no such thing as a civilian during a time of war. That's been Hamas's position towards Jews. They've said that all Israelis are soldiers. They've said all Israelis are targets. They've said it for years.
Right.
Their position is every Israeli is a target. Man, woman, and child, it's been their target. They say every Zionist is a target, correct?
That's correct.
So when the shoe falls on the other foot, suddenly the Quakers are out in the street, belly aching and crying. Suddenly there's only a humanitarian crisis when Arabs are dying.
Right. But there was a choice that was put to the Palestinian people a few years ago. They could have had Fatah, who wanted peace with Israel and have a two-nation solution to try and come to some kind of a compromise, or they could have had Hamas, whose charter is the destruction of Israel.
And well, you have to ask, look, Gary, here's the thing to remember. Despite all of the hue and cry going on now with the radical left in America and around the world, largely communists, socialists, and such fellow travelers, by the way, with a few deluded folks in between, most of the world is frankly not paying that much attention to the Israeli incursion into Hamas land. And the reason is they want Hamas wiped off the planet. That includes Egypt. Or else Egypt's armies would have been marshaled by now. That includes Syria, which is also threatened by Hamas. Or they would have been at war with Israel by now. That includes Jordan. That includes virtually every nation on the earth. There's not one nation that said, Israel, get out or we'll go to war with you. Why is that? Ask yourself why everybody seems to be looking the other way while crying crocodile tears over this. They're thanking Israel for doing this, in my opinion.
Exactly. This is the biggest joke, if you want to call it that, going. The truth is that most of the Arab governments themselves, do want Israel to crush Hamas. They'll never say it publicly.
That's correct, because if we remember Anwar Sadat, who was a great man of peace, made peace with Israel. He got the Sinai Desert back from the Israelis, and he was killed shortly thereafter by the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a sister or cousin organization to Hamas. I do not believe that Hosni Mubarak wishes to see history repeated in his country by encouraging a radical faction of Islam to flourish in Egypt. And the same goes for the King of Jordan. The same goes even for Syria. None of them want Hamas to win here.
No, absolutely not.
Let's go to the big knish in the sky. Why is it that Iran, who has been threatening Israel's existence for well over 2 years or more now, since Ahmadinejad, the mad jihadist, took over Iran. Why has Iran done nothing during this Israeli incursion into Gaza when it was the Iranians who have been supplying the missiles to the Hamasniks? Why has Iran done nothing?
Why has Iran done nothing?
Yes.
Are you suggesting that Iran, you think, is... I'm not really sure what you're saying on that one.
Well, I'm asking another question. Egypt's done nothing. Syria's done nothing. Jordan's done nothing. Why has Iran done nothing, basically? Nothing. Mild lip service. They say they want to raise up volunteers to go fight Israel, but really that means nothing. Why has Iran not marshaled any military reaction to Israel's incursion into Gaza? I have an answer to that question.
Yeah, I'm wondering what—I'm thinking that they just don't want to get involved in a conflict with Israel at this time.
I believe Iran is scared of Israel. I believe that despite shooting their mouths off, they're terrified that Israel right now, which has been provoked into action, is ready to act against Iran at the same time. I believe their own intelligence tells them that they're next.
I agree with you 100%. And I think that the oil situation that we had a while ago with the price of oil, I think Israel, if they were considering attacking Iran, probably was concerned about the world oil supply and the price of oil going through the roof at that point when the prices were much higher. But now
right now oil's in the toilet, what, $40 a barrel or thereabouts from $150 a barrel. So, yeah, you could argue this isn't a bad time, and Iran knows that as well.
Right, exactly.
It's geopolitical questions are complex. We know that. But if you think, if people think that diplomats know more than the average intelligent person does, they're mistaken. Diplomats often know less. They're bureaucrats. They're hacks. They read position papers. They can't think. I think we know as much as they do, if not more. And the reason that Iran is doing nothing is because Iran is afraid Israel will attack them next. You know, Israel has such bad publicity right now that it wouldn't matter if they did lob a few into the Iranian nuclear facilities. The world would hate Israel, what, 1% more?
The world is going to hate Israel no matter what they do anyway.
That's right. To the world, the only good Jew is a dead Jew.
That's definitely true.
Thank you for the call. I'll be right. No, I'm not going to come right back. I'm going to stay right in the air. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. I heard a guy on TV speaking about economic issues, if you want to talk about the pebble in the shoe, because I told you Cato the Elder, the Roman historian, wrote that the average person doesn't really care about what the legions are doing, you know, in Germania or in whatever. They don't really care what the Roman legions were doing so far away from Rome. He wrote that the average Roman cared about the pebble in the shoe, meaning what was going on in Rome is what the Romans cared about. In other words, taxes, the cost of pasta, the cost of wine, whether or not a particular Caesar was brutal, more brutal than the other one. That was the pebble in the shoe. So to the average listener, although they're mildly concerned about the Middle East, they could care less. They've lived with it for their whole lives. Most people have lived with this. Think about this. I mean, Israel was formed 70 years ago. Most people are not 70 years old. So virtually everyone in America, with the exception of the very old, have lived with Middle East war from the time they've been walking in this country, and they're used to it. And they expect it to go on until they die, and they could care less. They figure those guys are always killing each other anyway. What they care about is the economy. That is clearly the number one issue. It's why Obama became president, because of George Bush's incompetence. And, of course, we all know that it was started by both parties. We know that Barney Frank should be in prison in an orange jumpsuit with a cork in his mouth. But the fact of the matter is, what you really care about is the day-to-day and how you're going to get through tomorrow and how you're going to make payments on your house, particularly if you've lost your 401k or if, let's say, you're one of the investors in the Madoff scam. I was watching the hearings today on the Madoff scandal, and I was at once encouraged – and another time outraged. There was an investor victimized by Madoff who had the nerve to say that we should bail him out. It was shocking. Listen to clip four.
We're not asking for a bailout like AIG and GM and Ford. We're not asking for free money. We're not asking for loans. What we're asking for is to give us what we're entitled to. I think the legislative part of our government has to sit down with the SIPC and explain to them that they must loosen their rules and get the victims their money as quick as possible.
What do you mean? People who lost up to $100, $400 million should get bailed out by SIPC? That's crazy. Wait, he asks for more. Listen to five.
We have paid taxes, or I myself have paid income taxes on what they say are fictitious profits for decades. So maybe there ought to be some special legislation for Madoff victims, that they can go back and file amended tax returns, not just for 3 years, but maybe for 6 years or maybe for 10 years.
Amended tax returns for 10 years, saying that the profits are fictitious, therefore I shouldn't have paid taxes on them. Well, the problem, sir, is that many of you withdrew a lot of these funds and enjoyed the profits at that time. What do you mean you shouldn't pay taxes on it? You enjoyed the money. You were living on this money. What do you mean you shouldn't pay taxes on it? You know, if this keeps up, this insanity of George Bush and Hank Paulson with the greatest robbery in the history of America, what are we going to see next? Las Vegas saying business is down. We need to support the gaming industry. We want a government agent outside every casino with a checkbook. So when a person leaves, they can say, how much did you lose? $20,000. All right, here's a check for $22,000. It's your $20,000 loss plus 10% for travel. You know, go with God. What are they, crazy? You want to put them outside Aqueduct at every other track in America, too? So every loser, every degenerate gambler should be given a bailout because they gambled? Make no mistake about it. The stock market is a gamble. The stock market is a gambling board. There should be nothing for anybody who lost their money. What do you mean a bailout? They were living on a percent a month interest when I was making no interest because I was not willing to gamble. Well, I was right and they were wrong. If they lost their money, it's too bad. But they gambled it away. It's as though they went to Las Vegas and I was screaming, oh, I won, but I didn't win. I actually thought I won, but it was on the wrong hand and I lost. Now you have to pay me back? No, I'm sorry. There are winners and losers in life. George Bush should know that, but he's a false conservative. I'm the first to have called him a fiscal socialist exactly 1 year ago. 1 year ago, I said George Bush's policies are fiscal socialism. You can quote me on that. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back. Savage. About the Middle East, and we're talking about the Midwest, and we're talking about the East and the West and the North and the South, North, East, West, and South, which is the news right here on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the caller waiting for me in Tucson, Arizona. Liz, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm calling to tell you thank you. Oh, my battery's going to die, but thank you for addressing the John Travolta thing. And doing it with a little bit of sense.
Well, what I said was I'm disgusted with the vermin in the media who said that it was an avoidable death. Experts say that seizure medication may have saved his son, Jet. The lowest of the low, the award for the lowest scum on the planet should go to Adam Nichols and James Finelli of the New York Post, who had the nerve to say that the health problems of tragic teen Jet Travolta would not have been properly treated unless the celebrity Scientologist parents had rejected their religion's theories on medicine. That's an outrage. They lost their son. And these degenerates owe the Travoltas an apology. In fact, if I were the Travoltas' lawyer, I would sue the New York Post and the News Corporation for saying this about him. Because it came out that they, in fact, did have the child on anti-seizure medication. The nerve of these people, how far they will go to attack anybody who's a Scientologist. And I want to say right now, I am not a Scientologist, but to me it's just another religion. It's no different than any other religion. I don't see them attacking anybody else's religion other than a Mormon or a Scientologist. How come they go so easy on Christian Scientists who also don't believe in using medication? You know the reason, because they're liberals. That's why. What is it, Travolta didn't pay enough dues to the liberal causes recently that they attack him like this? Or News Corporation doesn't own his contract? Something's wrong with that picture for them to have attacked a man or a couple that lost a son like this.
Absolutely. They don't attack the Amish.
Well, of course they don't attack the Amish, because the Amish they can't make any money with. But Travolta, apparently, they can make money with, and they're not making any money with him. So they're mad at him, so they say his son's death could have been avoided if only he had used medication. Outrageous, Liz. And, you know, there's only one answer here, and that's the Travolta attorney should sue these so-called writers for the New York Post who did this to John Travolta, saying avoidable death. Outrage. Just outrageous, this kind of reportage. What do they want from people? They lose a child and they attack him after the death of a child? What do they want, Travolta to go to jail now? Is that what they're after? Yeah, well, that's what you call the jackals in the media what they are, the lowest of the low. That's why people hate so-called journalism and journalists. President-elect Obama taps Clinton White House hack Leon Panetta to head CIA, causing surprise and concern among several in the intelligence community. Concern? This is the most outrageous appointment I've ever seen in my entire political life. I have never seen anything crazier. How in the world can a hacker work for Bill Clinton, who was last the chancellor of a literally unknown university in Monterey, California, be the head of the CIA? Why would anyone think this man can protect us from our enemies? Does anyone want to comment on Leon Panetta being appointed to the CIA? Is there an expert out there in intelligence who has anything to say about this? This is far more deadly than is Richardson in commerce. No one knows what a commerce secretary does. It's largely a useless position. It's a graft position. A commerce secretary basically gets the job to see how much money they can rake in as fast as possible. No one even knows what the department does. I guess they file legislation to help friends who give them money. That's the commerce secretary. But the CIA is supposed to protect us from our foreign enemies. And to hire a guy like this to head it up is insanity. I don't understand how this can go. He has no experience in the intelligence world. He is a congressman from California. He was the chief of staff to Bill Clinton, as we said. But why would he appoint this man? How in the world can this pass a proper Senate hearing? I don't understand this. Even Dianne Feinstein said the following. Feinstein said, I was not informed about the selection of Leon Panetta to be the CIA director. I know nothing about this other than what I've read. My position has consistently been that I believe the agency is best served by having an intelligence professional in charge at this time, close quote. You're right, Dianne Feinstein. This is a nightmare. In fact, if confirmed, Leon Panetta, age 70, will become the oldest person to become CIA director. This is a very difficult job. Why in the world would they want him? You should also know that while Panetta was chief of staff for Clinton, what about the fact that the administration under Bill Clinton dropped the ball in the 1990s, permitting al-Qaeda to strike us? And I have to ask you, how in the world are the Republicans permitting this? The current CIA director, Mr. Hayden, has increased morale at the CIA to its highest level in years. Why would they be putting a hack, a political hack, into this position? He currently lives in Monterey Bay, as I say. He directs the Leon and Sylvia Panetta Institute for Public Policy in Monterey Bay. Fine, that's a good job for a man who's retired mentally. But you don't put a CIA director in who has no experience in intelligence. His job is to play offense against terrorists. His job is to counter weapons proliferation. His job is to make sure that America is safe. Why would Obama have picked Panetta? It makes no sense. It should be withdrawn immediately. Or the Republicans had better put up a stiff resistance to Panetta if they ever want to see another day in Congress. The American people will not accept this. It's one thing to put a political hack into a job that has no meaning for the average American, such as Commerce Secretary or Education Secretary or Labor Secretary. Most of that has no meaning to us. But in an age of terror, do you want a man with no military experience to speak of? No intelligence experience that is known? A man who bungled counterterrorism when he was Bill Clinton's chief of staff to be the head of the CIA? If you do, you're insane, in my opinion. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation Part 2. Welcome back to the program again. I want to welcome back KGIL in Los Angeles live again on the Savage Nation, 1260 on the dial. Free copies of my great book, Psychological Nudity, to all callers from Los Angeles who get on the show today. I guess the latest news from Gaza is that Israel has scrapped arrangements just moments ago to allow the first foreign reporters into the Gaza Strip, since the military launched its offensive against Palestinian terrorists, notably Hamas. The media is being locked out of the war zone, and apparently the libs in the media have appealed to the Israeli Supreme Court in order to make certain that they can go show pictures of poor Palestinian children throwing rocks and then show pictures of gloating Israelis aboard tanks. But this is a very big story. The fact of the matter is, if Wolf Blitzer had been alive in 1939, and CNN had been in existence along with the other news outlets that we have today, Hitler would have won World War II. The U.S. military would have been branded murderers. They would have said that the bombing of Dresden was a humanitarian crisis. They would have said that the blockade of Berlin was causing unnecessary deaths of children. Consequently, We won the war because we let the military take charge instead of letting a bunch of lame-brain fools with cameras and electronic notes control the outcome of the war. Good for the Israelis. If you want to talk about that, you can call me at 1-800-449-8255. David put together a small piece for you, which shows you what would have happened at the end of toward the end of World War II if left-wing lice of the type we have now in the media were allowed to have gone into Germany during the siege of Berlin. Play it.
This is Wolf Blitzer talking to you live from Berlin, Germany, where Allied forces are closing in on the bunker of Adolf Hitler, the Chancellor of Germany. As you can hear, the brave German Wehrmacht is putting up determined resistance to Russian and American forces. But let's see if we can get a word in with the Chancellor himself. Hitler appears to be sticking his head out of the top of the bunker now. Mr. Hitler, Wolf Blitzer with CNN. Could I have a couple moments of your time?
In uns selbst allein!
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I realize you're very busy right now. Of course. Mr. Hitler, as Allied forces have made their way into German territory, many unsettling rumors have sprouted in the media. Some say that you sent millions of Jews to so-called concentration camps and had them killed. Is that true? I see. So the Germans were only sent to these camps for health reasons. Naturally. That would be the safest place for them during these clearly very dangerous times. And you say the Jews were actually entertained and fed lavishly at German expense? Amazing. Well, I'm glad we got that cleared up. Mr. Hitler, I'll let you go back to your very important humanitarian work. From Berlin, Germany, this is Wolf Blitzer.
And now live, there it is. So the banning of outside news organizations from Gaza hampers the flow of unbiased information. A vital interest to the entire world, says John Somebody of the AP for International News. Yeah, right. The fact of the matter is, the Israelis have every right to ban journalists and keep them out of there until it's over. The main reason we were bogged down and have been bogged down in Iraq until the surge took effect was because of the media. There never should have been embedded reporters along with our Marines and other fighting men. Never. Never in a million years. They wound up stabbing the troops in the back every time they got a chance to do so. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. Kindly put a caller up since I'm blind right now. My radar went down and my staff is moving at a snail's pace. Put up a caller. Thank you very much. Okay, line one, what's on your mind?
Hi. I would like to know how to be able to defend myself a little better as being pro-Israel.
Well, defend yourself from who? Left-wingers who eat Quaker oats?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, their main position is that the Palestinians are an oppressed minority and their land was stolen from them and the Jews have to give it back and then there'll be peace on earth. That's what you hear, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Uh-huh. Well, ask them how they would feel if Mexico was lobbing rockets into Los Angeles or into San Francisco from the sea. What would they do? What would they expect their government to do about it? What sovereign nation can survive if they permit a terrorist organization to fire rockets for all this time period? How are they supposed to survive?
I don't see how that's possible.
Well, that's right. It's not possible, which is your answer right there, because you've got to understand something. Well, there's another way to take a pro. You can do it with a smile. You could say to the people, how come you weren't concerned when there was blood in the streets of Bombay? How come you aren't crying about the dead Hindus? Why don't you ask them that? Put them on the defensive. It might even be a better way to go.
Okay.
All right. So ask them and say, look, about 5 weeks ago, Islamists murdered hundreds and killed and wounded almost 1,000 people in Bombay when the hotels were burning. Remember that? How come you weren't out in the street crying over the bloodbath in Bombay? What is it about Bombay that's different from the blood in Gaza? Why are you suddenly so concerned about Hamas in Gaza and you had no concern about people in Bombay? Is there an answer to that question? I think you'll come to understand that they really don't give a rat's behind about anybody. It's all the left wing at work again. Thanks for the call, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Cesare, Rhode Island, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind? What's the topic? Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I have not been able to hear anything on the phone.
Me? I'm asking you, what is your call about?
Sorry, I'm on the air. I'm sorry about that, Dr. Savage. You named it exactly right when you were saying why this guy's being made head of the CIA.
Okay, hold on. The topic is Leon Panetta, a man without any intelligence experience, a bureaucrat, an apparatchik, a hack who worked for Bill Clinton as chief of staff, being taken out of Monterey University and being made the head of the CIA in a time of terror. What do you think is the reason for this?
Well, you said because where he is right now, he raised morale. And what a lot of things are about today is about making...
Wait. When did I say who raised morale?
A few moments ago, you were saying, before you went to a commercial, that he raised morale with his other coworkers.
Who said that?
I'm sorry, I must have heard you wrong. I'm very sorry for misunderstanding.
I don't understand what you mean. I said Leon Panetta raised morale where?
Just a few moments ago in your broadcast.
All right, have a nice day. I don't know, he's crazy or I'm crazy at this point. I know with a caller like that, you won't last in the business too long. So, guys, behind the board, get your act together. You're screwing my show up. Chicago, Phil, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
That is a complete incompetent. You're right. That guy was crazy.
Right.
Anyway.
So you're calling about what now?
I'm calling about, you're right about Iran not attacking Israel, but they're waiting for Obama to take charge. And with Panetta in office, you know, then it'll be a pushover. It's obvious. They're just going to wait until we're weak.
Who will be a pushover?
Attacking Israel. They're going to gang up. It'll be another war. The Arabs are just waiting in peace. They're waiting until we...
So they think that if Obama takes office, he's going to suddenly go hard on Israel and go soft on Arab terrorism?
You think that's not going to happen?
I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure. I do know that the appointment of Panetta is extremely worrisome. It makes no sense to anyone in the intelligence community. For a liberal like Dianne Feinstein to say she was blindsided when she's the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee tells me something happened here that none of us can answer. Something's wrong with this picture.
Something's wrong with Obama. The liberals are in charge. We're in bigger trouble than anybody realizes.
Well, we don't know that yet. I know that Panetta is not qualified to be the head of the CIA. I also fear that Panetta in the CIA will use the incredible supercomputers and all of the apparatus of the government spy agency to spy on American citizens who are conservatives and might oppose Obama. That's what worries me, Phil. Does it worry you?
I know it's a fact. I'm past worrying about it. I know what's going to happen. In the Arab groups.
All right. Well, I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Go to michaelsavage.com. Should Israel withdraw from Gaza immediately? Or should Hamas be crushed before Israel withdraws? Regarding John Travolta's son's death, why are vultures in the media beholden to the pharmaceutical industry through interlocking corporate directorships which own their news corporations and the pharmaceutical companies? Why are they attacking John Travolta while he's mourning his son's death? Why are the Quakers marching in lockstep with Hamas? 1-800-449-8255. Why is Leon Panetta an old Clinton hack? Why has he been chosen to head the CIA? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, we go from one scandal to another. It seems like America's a broken clock, and after 8 years of Clinton-Bush, we're going to have another 4 years of scandal. It doesn't seem to me that we have a reformer in the White House, not with an appointment of Leon Panetta to head up the CIA. This is a nightmare for America's survival. But let's go to a scandal of the $50 billion Wall Street scandal, the swindler Bernie Madoff. It just came out that the swindler sent $1 million in jewelry to Kin on Christmas Eve. Just came out that prosecutors hauled the arch swindler Bernie Madoff into court in an attempt to get the Ponzi schemer locked up immediately. You know, he's under house arrest in a $9 million co-op. They want him in jail because they just learned he mailed more than $1 million in his jewelry to his sons on Christmas Eve. But wait. A so-called Manhattan federal court judge allowed the arch swindler to remain free on bail under house arrest. It is time to arrest the Manhattan federal court judge. He's in the pocket of Madoff. As God is my witness, I can guarantee you, if you look into this, you know, the idea of a Manhattan federal court judge being honest is something that really begs the question. It's laughable if you think that a Manhattan federal court judge is honest. A guy like this, in my opinion, should be investigated for having invested with Madoff. And Madoff said, I'll tell you what, Bubala, you'll get your money back if you go easy on me. That's what the judge and him have worked out, in my opinion. There's no reason in the world this bum shouldn't be in the tombs. If you jumped the subway turnstile and you're black or you're Puerto Rican, you'd be in the tombs for 30 days. But if Madoff jumps away with $50 billion, he lives in a $9 million co-op. No wonder the people in the streets are ready to riot in this country. It stinks. All of New York's judges stink. He's allowed to remain free on bail, even though they caught him mailing $1 million in jewelry to his sons on Christmas Eve. And the judge says, no, that's okay. That's okay. He can stay in his house. What a rotten thing it really is. And to make matters worse, I watched the so-called hearings today of the SEC. I almost threw up. I've never seen such useless idiots in my life, with rare exception. Two of the best people that I saw grilling the stooges for the SEC, who all should be in handcuffs. From Chris Cox down, they should be in orange jumpsuits defending their freedom right now for what they allowed to happen. Instead, we hear guys sitting up there like Boy Scouts saying, yes, Congressman, we'll make certain, we'll investigate it so this never happens again. What do you mean this never happens again? It's happened now. Why are there people not in jail? Why are there people not in jail from SEC chairman all the way to judges? Only a few men had the nerve to ask real questions, and I admire them. One of them is Representative Gregory Meeks, I believe, of Texas. And by the way, the Republicans were not there. Oh, no, I saw only Democrats asking questions. Here is a black representative, Gregory Meeks, who did a fabulous job. My hat goes off to him. Listen to clip 29.
We're dealing with a crook. We're dealing with an individual who took people's money and lost it. He's a crook. He deserves to go to jail. And to the degree that we can make any individuals whole who lost their money, as in any other fraud case, we need to figure out how we get that done. That is the bottom line here. If there is an investigation and we find that someone within the SEC was complicit with it, well, then that person is a crook and needs to go to jail. But if we find that there is some other, that they were not properly trained, or they were inexperienced, or we didn't put the appropriate amount of money in there, then it is our job as members of the United States Congress to fix that.
You're 100% right. Congressman Meeks did his job today. I can't say that for any Republicans. They were sadly not present, so far as I could tell. And this is just beginning right now. But Madoff, mailed $1 million. The accused mega crook mailed $1 million in jewelry to his sons on Christmas Eve. Did I not tell you that if it was up to me what I would do in this case? You think I would hold hearings? I wouldn't hold hearings. I'll tell you what I would do. I would bring his grandchildren in to the FBI. I'd start with the grandchildren. I would squeeze Madoff's grandchildren in an FBI room, whatever they have to do, whatever's legal. I'd make them sweat. I'd pull them out of college if they're over the age of 18, and I'd make them answer questions about money. Where is your money? Where did you transfer your money? Did your grandfather send you any money over the last year? What is your trust all about? Can you tell us if your grandfather transferred any money into your trust, a young man, a young woman? You know, did you make any visits to any islands in the last month with any bags that you may not know what was in there, young man or young woman? Start squeezing the Madoff family. It stinks to high heaven. The New York Sanitation Department doesn't have enough trucks to haul away the garbage that's stored in their closets, if you know what I'm talking about. Now, Madoff's lawyer, his mouthpiece, Ira Sorkin, said that the $1 million that his client mailed were heirlooms. They were just heirlooms that included cufflinks and antique watches. And his lawyer argued that the jewelry, the $1 million in jewelry, were not significant assets. Tell that to some little old man out there who lost his entire 501K, Mr. Sorkin. Madoff last month was accused of running a mammoth $50 billion Ponzi scheme in which thousands of his Manhattan clients and other clients were duped into thinking they were making double-digit returns annually when they were actually being paid with each other's initial investments. He is still free to sneer at the world in his $9 million co-op, laughing at the world after a Manhattan federal court judge protected him again.
Savage.
So John Travolta's son dies, and the vermin in the media attack John Travolta for being a Scientologist and withholding medication from him. Those reporters should be fired from the New York Post. And moreover, Travolta's attorney should sue the New York Post for having suggested that the death was not accidental, that it could have been prevented. The autopsy just came out, and he died from a seizure. Apparently, the son's body showed no signs of head trauma. And with regard to medication, it has come out today that his son, Jet, did take the drug Depakote, an anti-seizure medication, for several years until it apparently lost its effectiveness. And the Travolta family took the teenager off the drug because they feared it would eventually damage his liver, which is a very common side effect. But these know-nothing, uneducated morons in the newspapers were quick to fire the other day and say Travolta's son's death could have been avoided if only they'd put him on medication. It's time to stop the persecution of people whose politics or religion they don't particularly like. I'm sick of this. I am sick of the attack on Scientologists. And I want to say something. I am not a Scientologist. So far as I know, I don't even know a Scientologist. But it's their right to believe anything they want to believe in, just as it's your right to be an atheist or any other religion other than Scientology. A person's beliefs are sacrosanct in America. And yet they rip him, they rip Tom Cruise, because the drugged-up media does not want anyone saying don't use drugs. Don't you understand how this works? There's also an element of mercenary element involved. I have said this to you for well over 2 years. There is a thing called interlocking corporate directorships. And if you investigate who is on the boards of some of the major media corporations, you will find that they may be sitting on the boards of some major pharmaceutical firms as well. So look into General Electric and NBC, Fox News, News Corporation, and who on the boards of those companies might also be sitting on the boards of pharmaceutical companies that are peddling drugs to the American public and want you to believe that you need drugs or you're going to die without them. And then get back to me. And anyone who does their homework and finds such a connection, if it exists, will win a free copy of Psychological Nudity, which you can take without even an aspirin and read it and enjoy it. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. New York City, WOR. John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. Comment on the new appointee to the CIA. I believe that's exactly what they want, is someone who doesn't know what they're doing. I believe the word I can only think of now is puppet, but I believe no matter what.
All right, so you're saying Panetta was appointed by Obama because he'll be a useful puppet. And then the CIA, instead of being an independent agency, will wind up being an arm of the executive branch. That's what worries me. That is Hitlerism. Shall I be very clear? When Hitler aggrandized all the power in Germany and all of the agencies reported to him and there was no independence, it was called a dictatorship. Panetta must not be confirmed as a director of the CIA. This is an outrage. Outrage. Biggest story of the year, picking an unknown hack. An unknown hack. No intelligence experience to run the CIA in an age of terror. I've never seen anything like this. Even Dianne Feinstein was caught off guard. She don't believe it herself. She doesn't believe it herself.
And that's what got me, is when someone like Feinstein herself is even surprised at it. That's what got me. I believe.
Right. Now, if Feinstein, a certifiable, bona fide liberal, was not consulted, and she's the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, who then picked Leon Panetta?
Exactly. I believe Ayers, Farrakhan, and the whole rest of that.
Yeah, maybe Bill Ayers picked Leon Panetta. Maybe everything we feared about Obama can be seen in the head of a pin here.
Absolutely.
Something is wrong. The CIA position is the most important selection of all, perhaps next to the Secretary of State, even more important, because the CIA has access to secret data that I don't even think the State Department has. Why would they pick a hack like Panetta, a college teacher? Why? Because Obama wants all information flowing only to him. And he wants a useful puppet in the CIA. And this man must not be confirmed. You know, what's interesting and very important for the American people to know, because thus far they haven't heard this story, because it just happened today, is this. The man originally selected by Obama to be the head of the CIA was a good man with great experience. He was rejected by the left-wing blogosphere. Obama then goes and picks a man with no experience. Who is advising Obama on this? Who? Who? Is it the very left wing that we feared in the background? Is it Bill Ayers and his crowd in Chicago who said, pick Panetta, he's a man we can trust? This is no good. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. New York City, Jimmy, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Leon Panetta is a big guy with the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C., a well-known KGB front group. Leon Panetta is a...
Come on, Jimmy. You're not saying that the Soviet Union put Panetta in there.
The Institute for Policy Studies was founded by communism to spread communism in America and throughout the world. They're the ones who helped in America to topple the Shah. And now Iran is a mess. The whole Middle East is a mess. Leon Panetta is a big guy with the Institute for Policy Studies. He was the head of a committee that they put together to have a celebration, the 25th anniversary of the founding of the Institute for Policy Studies. So let's say Mr. Panetta does not know he's in a circle of KGB front people. But if you are working among mafia or Ku Klux Klan and you're too stupid to know who you're with, you don't deserve to be in a position to head the CIA. He'll be in a position to make appointments, and this is very dangerous. Now, we stopped Anthony Lake when Bill Clinton nominated him to head the CIA. He was blocked specifically because of his connections to the Institute for Policy Studies.
Well, hold on. Let's back up for the average listener, Jimmy. You're an expert on all of these things. Do you remember the name of the man who was picked by Obama originally to head the CIA who was rejected by the blogosphere?
Off the top of my head, no.
Well, why is it that Obama would listen to bloggers and put in Leon Panetta? Out of nowhere, his original pick was quite good. How does he go from A to Z like this?
Well, Leon Panetta is a big guy among the Democrats. I'm sure among liberal Democrats he's respected. He was in Clinton's circle with Anthony Lake. But these are people who rubbed
elbows. Wait a minute. He threw the political world a curveball. Obama tapped a hack, a Democrat hack for CIA director. Obama has thrown a curveball. Why? The question is why. What does this have to do with America's survival? Well, what does this have to do with patriotism? Is Leon Panetta a certifiable patriot? Does Leon Panetta have any military experience, any intelligence experience that we know of?
Well, his intelligence experience would probably be working with the Institute for Policy Studies, but that's not U.S. intelligence. That's Soviet intelligence. The man is dangerous. Either he's incredibly stupid or he's a traitor. There's no way you could work with the Institute for Policy Studies. KGB people in there. We have pictures of it. There are books written about it. You know who knows a lot about the Institute for Policy?
Wait. Let's back up. Even Dianne Feinstein, for the liberals listening to this show, even Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat liberal, was caught off guard by this. She was shocked by this curveball. Why is it that she wasn't consulted? Who is it, do you think, suggested to Obama that they put this character into the CIA?
Well, he's a well-known, respected Democrat, but Bill Ayers probably would like this guy being appointed also. I'm not saying Bill Ayers had anything to do with it, but the Institute for Policy Studies destroyed U.S. internal security. This is an extremely when the Soviets devise plans, they get implemented in America.
Well, let's forget the Soviets. Let's just say that this man has no experience in intelligence. Who in the Republican Party can stop this?
Well, we stopped Anthony Lake. Last time, Senator Shelby did. Once the word gets out about the Institute for Policy Studies, that will come up in confirmation hearings. The Democrats don't want that exposed to the U.S. public. That's why they stopped Anthony Lake after we exposed his connection to IPS.
Well, you keep saying after we exposed. Who is we?
Well, to be honest with you, I was the first one to start it publicly, but there were people behind the scenes who used to work for Reagan, Mike Waller and others, contacted Senator Shelby and said, we have to stop Anthony Lake. The only reason they tried to stop Anthony Lake...
Well, look, let me explain. Look, in plain English, Jimmy, this is the biggest scandal to hit the Obama administration immediately. Let's say the biggest misstep, not scandal. The biggest scandal is the Blagojevich blowback, which thus far... Obama has avoided. the next giant scandal is Richardson, Los Alamos Richardson, stepping down because of pay-for-play allegations. This curveball of picking Panetta to run the CIA is the biggest misstep of Obama's career thus far. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yes. Leon Panetta's scandal here is the most dangerous, the most obvious and easily understood.
Well, let's put aside the danger and the Soviet allegations. The man has no experience. The man has no experience.
Okay, on the surface, right, he's not qualified. I'm saying it's more dangerous than that. His connection to this front group, the Institute for Policy Studies is well known. It's a tax-exempt foundation. KGB guys in there, they support terrorism, they support...
Well,
terrorism.
Wait a minute. Look, the original selection for CIA chief was John Brennan. And his name was withdrawn when left-wingers said that he should not be CIA director because he was not outspoken enough in his condemnation of Bush's policies with regard to so-called torture of terrorists. But how do they go from him to Leon Panetta, who has no experience at all?
Well, he was probably recommended by others. Leon Panetta was close to Anthony Lake. They were from the Clinton administration. So
all right, listen, Jimmy, I got to move on. I want to read what Dianne Feinstein just said just now. This is breaking news. Dianne Feinstein, liberal Democrat, shocked by the curveball that Obama threw at the world today, saying, I know nothing about this other than what I've read. My position has consistently been that I believe the agency is best served by having an intelligence professional in charge at this time. Now, I ask you, why would Obama pick Panetta, who has no direct intelligence experience, beyond a two-year stint in the mid-60s as a U.S. Army lieutenant? Can anyone answer this? Now, maybe he's a good administrator, maybe he's a good manager, maybe he's a good politician, but does that make him a good CIA director? No. Veterans of the CIA are shocked. I'm at a loss, said Robert Grenier, a former director of the CIA's Counterterrorism Center and 27-year veteran of the agency, who is now as managing director of a security consulting company. The lack of intelligence experience puts Panetta at a tremendous disadvantage, Grenier told the Associated Press in an interview. He said, intelligence by its very nature is an esoteric world, and right now the agency is confronted with numerous pressing challenges overseas, and to have no background is a serious deficit. John Hamry, the president of the Center for Strategic and International Studies, served with Panetta during the Clinton administration. Okay? The fact of the matter is, to draw somebody without experience, a man who runs a college in Monterey, is an outrage. The fact of the matter is that Obama's selection is the greatest misstep he has made thus far. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I mean, the big news today, sure, the Middle East is a big story, but we don't know what's going on because Israel's keeping the reporters out of their business. The reporters never should have been in Iraq, never, till it was over. And as I said to you earlier, if we had reporters in Germany in World War II crying over every bomb that fell in Germany, you'd be a lampshader, you'd be speaking German. I'm sick of these reporters. I'm sick of all of them. John Travolta's son dies, that's a tragedy, it's not their business. And the vultures speed in and say, oh, he didn't give him enough drugs. What do they want, him arrested now after losing a child? I'm sick of this god-awful media that we have. Animals, all of them. Lower than animals. I love animals. But the big news that's going to translate out of today is that the world is shocked by Obama's curveball for CIA director. To pick Leon Panetta to head the CIA is shocking the world. Not because Panetta is so good, but because he's so inexperienced in a time of terror. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game. Make it quick, though. We are so short of time, as usual, on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Noel in Middletown. Welcome to the show, Noel. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I just want to thank you for your defense of the Travoltas and your defense of religious rights and religious beliefs. I am a Scientologist myself, and I also think it's disgusting the way the media is turning.
Right, and the worst of them were the two reporters for the New York Post who said that the death was preventable if the Travoltas had drugged their child. They should be sued by the Travolta family.
I agree with you, because the Travolters were treating their son medically, and they did.
That is correct. The child had been on medication. They withdrew him from medication because they did not want the child to lose his liver. And these drugs are known to be liver killers, just as many other pharmaceuticals are known to kill organs in the body.
Exactly.
You know, you got to question your doctor. You got to question your pharmaceutical industry representative. They're not always they're not always selling you a drug in the best interest of health, for example. You know, I could go on and on about this. Let's take the issue of cholesterol, LDL, HDL, cholesterol. Every man over 50 is put on Lipitor. Lipitor happens to be a very dangerous drug. Lipitor doesn't even control one of the factors in the cholesterol story, which is a factor in the cholesterol story that needs to be discussed. And the fact of the matter is nutrients can control this just as well, such as niacin. But they won't tell you that. Niacin will not destroy your liver, while Lipitor will destroy your muscles. It'll also challenge your liver. Why doesn't the medical establishment tell you that? Why are we seeing every other day another study saying vitamin C is no good, vitamin E is no good? Because you can't patent vitamin C or vitamin E. And it costs pennies a day, not dollars a day. It's all money, my friend. And if you think that Madoff and what he did in the world of swindling people is unique, you are mistaken. Let me tell you something. The medical establishment is not much different than Madoff in terms of selling procedures that are unnecessary and drugs that are dangerous. I'm sick of this.
I'm sick of it, too.
I'm sick of it, and my hat's off to the Scientologists. You know, but my biggest proof is this. How come the media doesn't go after Christian Scientists who believe exactly as do the Scientologists in using drugs as limited as possible? Isn't that correct?
We believe definitely in using drugs as little as possible, but it's a common misconception that Scientologists don't believe in medical treatment. That's not true.
No, but listen to what I'm saying. Your beliefs with regard to a light use of medication is very similar to that of the Christian Scientists. But when have you last seen Matt Lauer of NBC attacking a Christian Scientist on his show?
I don't know that I ever have.
You never will. Because Christian Scientists are certifiable liberals.
Well, and plus, as Scientologists, a lot of us, you know, we stand up and, you know, we fight against, for example, the psychiatric industry, and we call them to the carpet and we say,
amen, as you should, as you should. Noel, I'm sending you a copy of something that's going to make you and all the other Scientologists in Middletown happy, Psychological Nudity. Read it and laugh. In the next hour, we're going to have an interview with Ms. Gabriel for an update on the latest from Gaza that's not being covered by the media. I also have terrorism expert Dr. Harvey Kushner, who will tell us where this incursion in Gaza is going to lead. I don't think you're going to want to miss either of these particular interviews that I did earlier today on the Savage Nation. Now let's go back to the other news of the day. We have very little time left in this hour. Indiana, Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Michael, I can't believe, as smart as you are and as how much I admire you, that you don't. This is a Clinton end-around flea flicker play. They're setting up Obama for a Vince Foster, Ron Brown. They're putting all their people in there. They're biding their time. They're setting him up big time.
You're saying that Hillary Clinton is behind the appointment of Panetta? You may be right. But I wouldn't go as far as a Vince Foster, Marcy Park, trigger finger job.
They're going to do a Sandy burglar on him. They're going to set him up with some kind of bad info. He's either going to go somewhere or do something. They're going to scorch him like a Friday night. They're going to have a Greek fire in the restaurant with him. That he's going to be a flick of the bick. They're going to roast him, period.
What are you telling me? They want to put that hack Biden into the presidency?
You know what? He's a yes man. He'll do whatever they say. And, you know, if he doesn't, they're vicious people. All these people that died around the Clintons, all the Teflon stuff that didn't stick to the Clintons, they never got pinned on anything. I guarantee you, as sure as there's little green apples, this whole thing.
Well, wait a minute. If what you say has any validity, wouldn't Obama be smart enough to smell this from a mile away?
It's patently obvious he's not smart enough because he's taking their advice. He made a backdoor deal with these people to pay off their campaign debt and to grease the wheels for them.
Well, he looks like he's out. By the way, I got to tell you something. He looked like a scared college professor during his first day on the job. The media tried to make him look like a great leader. He looked terrified and way, way, way out of league. I got to tell you something. He looked like a college teacher in his first day as an assistant professor.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Ago, there was another Israeli airstrike. You can see it off in the distance. This is less than a mile. It's less than a mile from where I'm standing. I'm going to let you listen to this and watch it. You can hear the aircraft overhead right now. Tremendously powerful blast, less than half a mile from our position here on the Israeli side of the border.
Over the weekend, Israel started a fight for its life. Instead of complaining or pressuring or coaxing, it took strong, forceful action against an enemy that threatens its very existence. It sent ground troops into Gaza as a follow-up to its air attack. The sleeping David woke up and struck out against his mortal foe. And what has the reaction of the Western media been? Horror at the very notion that Israel should stand up and fight for its survival. These liberal empty suits and empty skirts are the same ones who would have been capos in the concentration camps, leading their people along into the showers to be gassed to death. That's why we continuously see film of Palestinian children throwing rocks instead of rockets being fired at Israeli civilians. That's why we see shots of protests against Israel when we saw no protest against the attacks in Bombay. That's why we see talking heads pressing the Israeli military for operational information instead of respecting their attempt to keep their people safe from missile fire. The media would prefer to see Israeli children die than to see a single rocket launcher taken out of the hands of a single Hamas terrorist. But the media isn't the only one doing this. The American Friends Service Committee, Quakers, they're marching in lockstep with Hamas as well. The quaking Quakers have apparently eaten so many oats that it's addled their brains. The holier-than-thou choruses of We Shall Overcome, sung by white liberals in support of the cause of the day, ring hollow when the rockets are raining down on the people of Israel. But all the propaganda that all these groups can muster won't be enough. Israel has taken it from these SOBs long enough, and this time their action is correct. Pure, unmitigated force has been her response, and it will continue until the Hamas terrorists realize they can't threaten Israel without consequences. And now, with a report on the latest going on in the Gaza Strip, here is Brigitte Gabriel, best-selling author and founder and president of ActForAmerica.org. Brigitte, tell us what's going on.
Thanks, Michael. On this tenth day into the conflict in Gaza, Israeli forces crossing the border are taking on Hamas terrorists hiding in maternity wards and hospitals. Terrorists dressed in medical white robes are using hospitals as cover and a place to hide their weaponry, knowing that Israel will not fire at hospitals. Hamas's top leadership is now believed to be hiding among 800,000 civilians. Of the 530 Palestinians that have been killed so far in the fighting, about three-quarters of them have been armed terrorists, which is an impressive achievement on the part of the Israeli army, knowing that Hamas is firing rockets from schools, mosques, hospitals, and apartment buildings. Hamas is strategically using its own population, women and children, as shields and paws to influence and fan world opinion against Israel. According to the Egyptian Authority, a week ago, Egypt sent dozens of ambulances to its border with Gaza to evacuate the wounded, only to remain empty because Hamas wasn't allowing wounded Palestinians to leave. Israel is now occupying the northeast and south of the Gaza Strip. Tonight, they surround Gaza City as they cut the strip in half. Their targets are the hundreds of tunnels dug up under Gaza, which the Palestinians use to obtain weapons and ammunition provided to them by Iran and smuggled through Egypt. In the past week, Israel has used bunker-busting bombs designed to collapse the underground pathways. The Israeli government wants to ensure that the tunnels are completely destroyed before any ceasefire can be reached, and also to ensure that these tunnels cannot be reused after the assault is over for Hamas to smuggle and rearm itself with even more weapons from Iran. Today, Hamas has fired over 40 rockets into Israel as the fighting continues. Denied their usual launching sites, Hamas is launching rockets from backyards and refugee camps. Michael, Israel has learned a great deal from its war with Hezbollah 2 years ago, especially regarding rearmament. They want to prevent Hamas from being rearmed like Hezbollah war after the war in Lebanon. It is because of this Israel wants international force, hopefully with American engineers, to monitor Hamas after the ceasefire. They want any monitors to be heavily armed and equipped to search and destroy tunnels. If those 9 miles along Egypt, where Israel is calling for the international monitors to occupy, are denied to Hamas as a resupply route, then Hamas is going to find it very, very difficult to govern, let alone smuggle in Grad and Katyusha rockets. The operation will probably continue for a few more days to weaken Hamas before facing intense pressure Israel is facing from the international community as European leaders are now converging on the Middle East. Israel wants time to seriously weaken Hamas militarily and then put into place a mechanism on the Egyptian border to help combat arms smuggling. Israel is not interested in occupying Gaza again, nor turning it to Mahmoud Abbas, head of the Palestinian Authority. This time, they want assurance and safety. And without an international force and monitors, as well as a more serious crackdown along the Egyptian border, Israel believes the tunnels can be reestablished in as little as 3 to 6 months. But let's look at why it should really matter to Americans, Michael. In my book, I discuss the terrorist infrastructure in the United States. Of all terrorist organizations that have set up shop in America, and the three most threatening ones are Hamas, Al-Qaeda, and Islamic Jihad. Of all the Islamic militant groups in the United States, Hamas has developed the most sophisticated American infrastructure. Hamas has cells in the top 31 cities in America. They have cells in Boston, New York City, Laurel, Maryland, Potomac, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Hunterdon, Virginia, Springfield, Virginia, Raleigh, North Carolina, Boca Raton, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Charlotte, Orlando, Tampa, Detroit, Houston, Columbia, Missouri, Plainfield, Illinois, Kansas City, Chicago, Denver, Oklahoma City, Arlington, Texas, Dallas, Tucson, Seattle, San Francisco, Santa Clara, Los Angeles, and San Diego. Hamas is right here in many of our towns and cities. In the Hamas Charter, written in 1988 and made public, they talk about their enemy to be destroyed. Article 22 of the Hamas Charter states, talking about their enemy, quote, "Such organizations are the Freemasons, Rotary Clubs, Lions Clubs, B'nai B'rith, and the likes. All of them are destructive espionage organizations," end quote. How many of the Savage Nation's listeners who are members of the Rotary Club, the Lions Club, the Freemasons, and the likes know that they are mentioned in the Hamas Charter, Hamas, the largest terrorist infrastructure on American soil? When you watch the demonstrations now organized across America in support of the, quote, poor Palestinians in Fort Lauderdale, Washington, D.C., New York, L.A., etc., keep in mind that what you are watching are Hamas members and sympathizers taking to the streets in our own country. Those are the same people who would commit terrorist operations against us in a flash if they have the chance. Let's also not forget that our government just won its most important case against the Holy Land Foundation charity in Texas, which was a front for Hamas and its fundraising arm. The Holy Land Foundation and its top members were convicted on 108 separate charges just few months ago for its support for Hamas to the tune of tens of millions of dollars raised from Muslims in America and sent to the Middle East to finance terrorist operations. And one final note on Hamas, Michael. On December 23rd, Hamas legislators voted to introduce Sharia Islamic law to the Palestinian territories, including crucifixions. Yes, you heard it correctly, including crucifixion. These are the terrorists Israel is fighting. And that's the latest from the Middle East. I'm Brigitte Gabrielle. Back to you, Michael.
Brigitte, thanks for the report. The liberal media may sweep the truth about the situation under the rug, but you'll hear about it right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The coming commercial real estate collapse, do you think this will be the next sector demanding a bailout? About John Travolta's son, why are media vultures who are beholden to the pharmaceutical industry with interlocking corporate directorships attacking John Travolta, who has already lost his son? Why are they attacking him? It seems to me that mandating addiction to prescription drugs is more important to these ghouls than respect for the dead. And also, why are Scientologists persecuted as a group for their beliefs, including their belief that medicine should not be used unless in a last resort, when Christian Scientists who hold similar beliefs but are far more liberal are not criticized by the media? Why is Bush's legacy suddenly being burnished by the liberal media? How is it that a man who was hated only a few months ago is suddenly being described as having an ambiguous legacy, that he suffered from his time in office? And other sympathetic inanities being put forward by the media and by Laura Bush. Do you think Bush has been able to buy liberal sympathy with bailouts and AIDS money? The last topic is the Clinton hack who will now head the CIA. We had a certifiably excellent man appointed to the CIA by Obama, whose name was withdrawn because of pressure by radical leftists in the blogosphere. Now he's appointing Leon Panetta to head the CIA. Leon Panetta, an old Clinton operative? Since Panetta seems to know where the bodies are buried politically, is this more about protecting Obama's back than protecting the American people? We'll have to wait and see. Should Israel withdraw from Gaza immediately? Should Hamas be crushed before Israel withdraws? To give us a political analysis of the Israeli incursion into Gaza, we have internationally recognized authority on terrorism, Dr. Harvey Kushner at harveykushner.com. Dr. Kushner, what are the consequences of these big developments in the Middle East?
Thanks, Michael. Analysis of what's going on in Gaza is quite interesting. We have a political background to the whole problem. Hamas, as people might not be aware of, has an election coming up shortly in the West Bank, with Abu Mazen's term is ending. And quite frankly, it would be interesting to see how Hamas could fare in an election against Abu Mazen in the West Bank. So they probably broke off the peace which Israel had with them, although rockets came in sporadically, and they fired many rockets to sort of bait Israel into attacking them, which quite frankly worked. Israel, on the other hand, has elections coming up in February. The Kadima Party, which is behind in the polls to Bibi Netanyahu, is looking to, quite frankly, build some type of strength. And a successful incursion into Gaza would be important for them. The United States also plays into the political background with the upcoming transition of power on January 20th with the new president, Barack Obama. And quite frankly, nobody knows Barack Obama's stance on this. He's remained silent, although the press has reported widely that he has said that when he was in Israel, if rockets were coming in where my kids were, I would take care of business. That said, there seems to be quite an interesting amount of political background surrounding what's happening in the Gaza Strip. Now, interestingly enough, I just got back from Eastern Europe, where I was in Poland briefing the Polish government on matters related to security and terrorism. And I had the distinct privilege of interacting with some high-placed officials in Israeli government while I was in Poland. And we had some long discussions as to what happened in Lebanon with Hezbollah. And I was told that any new type of operation which would take place against Hamas in Gaza would be quite different from the lessons learned in the Lebanon, and that the plan would be different, and that they would have a significant tactic. They would loosen up the enemy, and by day with bombing, and then after a period of loosening, they would move in at night because they had the advantage with night vision. And quite frankly, if you're watching what's happening in Gaza, that indeed is taking place. Now, what's interesting is there is a comparison to be made between what happened in Lebanon with Hezbollah and what's happening now in Gaza. And the distinct advantage is the Israelis' advantage. For one thing, the supply line into Gaza is quite different than the supply line for Hezbollah. Iran has a direct relationship with Hezbollah and supports them in weaponry on a daily basis. Not the case with Gaza. It comes in through Egypt, through tunnels, which Israel is going to try to take care of that, and the supplies there is limited. Also, if you look at Gaza, Gaza is geographically certainly much smaller than the Lebanon, and it makes it different because Israel can control infrastructure support, meaning electricity, water, sewage. They could take care of that while they do their operation. This was not the case against Hezbollah in the Lebanon. And thirdly, Hamas is not as well trained as Hezbollah, and that's important. So the operation that's taking place now is probably going to succeed because of these three reasons. The supply line is different, the training is different between Hamas and Hezbollah, and the geographical region is different. The ultimate plan, I was told, is to cripple the ability of Hamas to lob rockets into Israel. It's not the complete destruction of Hamas. This is nearly impossible. But we can stop arms coming in from Egypt to Gaza. And what's interesting is a reverse fence is going to be built. In other words, we have the fence in the West Bank in which you could stop a terrorist from coming into Israel. And now the deal is to develop a sort of tunnel with debris, filled with debris from a sort of a carping bombing procedure along the Gaza Strip, which would stop weaponry coming in from Egypt into Israel. And this would cut down on the number of rockets that could be fired into Israeli cities, especially the long-range rockets, which Israel fears, because Dimona, where Israel has its nuclear capabilities, reportedly so, is possibly in range from short-range Iranian missiles, and this would be a terrible disaster if it took place. So in the upcoming days, we shall see, I believe, an Israeli victory in the Gaza. Now, back to you, Michael Savage.
Harvey Kushner, thanks for that report. The world is watching to see if Israel can stamp out this mortal enemy to peace once and for all without the interference of fellow traveling liberals around the world. I'll talk more about it at another time right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Why is the media ignoring the scam of the century, the Madoff hearings? Where are the supposedly financially conservative Republicans during these hearings? I didn't see one of them. It's only the liberal Democrats who seem to be grilling these SOBs at the SEC. By the way, victims of Madoff do not deserve special protection. Should Las Vegas gamblers also get a check from the government when they lose? Should there be a government agent outside the casino giving out a check? The bottom line is that all these charlatans will get off in the end and retire to the Cayman Islands. Why were there massive protests against Israel's action in Gaza by fellow travelers with Hamas around the world, but no similar protests about the terrorist actions in Bombay where hundreds were killed and thousands wounded? Why is the American Friends Service Committee, the so-called Quakers, marching in lockstep with Hamas? Why did they not march during the bloodshed in Bombay? What does that tell you about the Quakers today? Have they been eating too much oatmeal? You heard me coin the phrase Islamofascist. Now, it's important to understand just how historically accurate that description is. Rabbi David Gildalen is a conservative rabbi and author. His book that he co-authored is entitled Icon of Evil, and it links the fascism of the last century with the Islamofascist terrorism of this century. Rabbi David Dallin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. I'm delighted to be on your show. Thank you so much for inviting me today.
Tell us about your book.
Well, this is a book about Haj Amin al-Husseini, the Mufti of Jerusalem, who spent the war years, World War II, as part of Hitler's inner circle in Nazi Germany. The roots of Islamofascism and of radical Islam as we know it today go back to the Mufti, Haj Amin al-Husseini. We argue in this book unequivocally that he was the founding father of radical Islamic anti-Semitism and terrorism as we know it today.
Well, what did Hitler love about the Mufti?
Well, this is amazing. The Mufti established, he first came to the attention of Hitler in the 20s and 30s. The Mufti established his anti-Semitic credentials, which brought him to Hitler's attention by instigating and leading the murderous Arab uprisings against the Jews of Jerusalem and throughout Palestine, starting in 1920, but especially in 1929 and 1936. And he was always a great admirer of Hitler and of Nazi ideology from the moment that Hitler had taken power. And he cultivated Hitler, and he was invited in 1941 to come to Berlin. They formed an alliance. I would say that the inextricable link between the old fascism and the new, between the fascism of Nazi Germany and the fascist ideology that permeates much of the radical Islamic world today, is the Mufti. Now, the genesis of this goes back to a meeting that took place on November 28, 1941. Just 9 days before the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, when the Mufti, Haji Amin al-Husseini, met with Hitler in Germany and made a deal and formed an alliance that with Hitler that continues to shape our world today.
Tell us about al-Husseini during the war years.
At Hitler's invitation, the Mufti spent the war years in Berlin. And in our book, the readers will learn how the Mufti ingratiated himself with his hero, and Hitler really was his hero, and other Nazi leaders. He became a member of Hitler's inner circle, a close friend of Eichmann and Himmler. Now, it's amazing, Michael, to realize that the Mufti visited Auschwitz, the Nazi death camp, and chastised the Nazi leadership for not being efficient enough in their extermination of the Jews.
What?
As we document, he actively collaborated with Hitler and really was one of the architects of Hitler's final solution that, of course, resulted in the mass murder of 6 million Jews. During World War II, al-Husseini was called the Führer of the Arab world. He recruited more than 100,000 Muslims in Europe to fight in Muslim divisions of the Waffen-SS. And it's amazing to realize he was responsible for the creation of the Muslim Waffen-SS unit that massacred 90%, 12,600 of Bosnia's 14,000 Jews. And to further recruitment here, he wrote a viciously anti-Semitic book entitled Islam and the Jews, which was distributed to Bosnian Muslim SS units during the war as part of his efforts to incite the murder of Bosnian Jews. He worked closely with Joseph Goebbels, the Third Reich's propaganda minister, and organized and planned Nazi propaganda broadcasts throughout the Arab world. And most of his very passionate pro-Nazi broadcasts were classically anti-Semitic, designed to incite hatred and violence against radical Islam's greatest enemy, the Jews. In one of the most infamous of his many such anti-Semitic broadcasts, the Mufti urged his fellow Arabs to murder their Jewish neighbors with the following admonition: kill the Jews wherever you find them, he proclaimed. This pleases God, history, and religion.
What about after the war?
The Mufti escaped indictment at Nuremberg, where he surely would have been convicted as a war criminal. He resurfaces in Cairo, Egypt in 1946, where he's welcomed as a hero, and he becomes the mentor to a very young Yasser Arafat, who happens to be a distant cousin of his, and to a new generation of radical Islamic terrorists who are friends and associates of Arafat. Now, we document the details of his relationship with Arafat in rather great detail, but what's less known also, he was also another protege of the Mufti, was the uncle of Saddam Hussein. And we know that the Mufti met with Saddam Hussein's uncle on visits to Baghdad and presumably with Saddam Hussein himself in the late 50s and 1960s.
So al-Husseini's legacy is that he's a founding father of modern radical Islamic anti-Semitism. That's wonderful. It should be loved by the left.
Just as al-Husseini has been the inextricable link between the old fascism and the new, so too he has been the inextricable link between the old anti-Semitism and the new. In recent decades, as we document conclusively in this book, a new and insidious Islamic anti-Semitism, which has its roots in the anti-Jewish ideology of Nazism, has become pervasive throughout the Islamic Middle East. Much of this virulent anti-Semitism and anti-Semitic literature that is widespread today throughout the Islamic Middle East was inspired and promoted by one man, the Mufti. It was al-Husseini in the decades following World War II who introduced European anti-Semitism into the Middle East, promoting the Arabic translation and widespread distribution of notoriously anti-Semitic publications, including the Protocols of the Elders of Zion and Hitler's autobiography, Mein Kampf. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion, as your listeners may know, is an infamous forgery dating from Tsarist Russia that purported to document the existence of a secret Jewish conspiracy or cabal to rule the world. Despite the fact that the Protocols had been discredited as a forgery even before the 1920s, they continued to be accepted as authoritative scholarship through much of the Islamic world. They were inspired and promoted by al-Husseini, and as a result of that, the Protocols have been publicly praised and recommended by various monarchs, presidents, and other political and intellectual leaders of radical Islam. Former Egyptian President Nasser and King Faisal of Saudi Arabia, for example, praised the book and recommended that it be widely read. And King Faisal actually ordered all Saudi hotels to have copies of the Protocols as bedtime reading and often gave copies of the Tsarist forgery to the guests of his regime. And one of the most amazing anecdotes is that when former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, who of course is Jewish, visited the Saudi capital in the early 1970s, he was one of the many visiting diplomats to receive a copy of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion from King Faisal.
Mm-hmm.
The Protocols were serialized in a leading Tehran newspaper during the Khomeini regime and became a number one Iranian bestseller. Now, Hitler's Mein Kampf, another favorite anti-Semitic publication of the Mufti and his protégés, has similarly enjoyed a wide and appreciative radical Islamic audience in recent decades. When Mein Kampf was republished, and this is amazing, Michael, to realize, by Yasser Arafat's Palestinian National Authority in 2001, shortly after the September 11th terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, it achieved immediate bestseller status throughout much of the Arab world. New Arabic translations and editions of Mein Kampf have recently appeared in Turkey, Lebanon, and Saudi Arabia. Indeed, what's amazing to realize, today there are more Arabic editions of Mein Kampf than German.
Are you kidding?
In Icon of Evil, we provide unequivocal evidence that al-Husseini's actions and writings have served and continue to serve as the inspiration not only to the late Yasser Arafat, but to the leaders of Hamas, Hezbollah, al-Qaeda, and other terrorist organizations pledged to destroy Israel and the United States. His unholy legacy of anti-Semitism and anti-Jewish violence and terrorism and anti-Western and anti-American terrorism has been an enduring one. In the 60 years since the Holocaust, Haj Amin al-Husseini, who was not only the founding father of the radical Palestinian national movement, he has been and remains the inspiration for the leaders of the PLO, of Hamas, of Hezbollah, al-Qaeda, and other radical Islamic groups in their campaigns of violence and terror against Israel, the United States, and their allies and friends. The terrorism, the fanaticism, and ruthlessness of the Palestine National Movement reflect the enduring legacy and influence of the Mufti. Today, more than 30 years after his death, he died peacefully in 1974 in the Middle East. Haj Amin al-Husseini deserves recognition as the icon of evil that he was, as the father of radical Islamic anti-Semitism and terrorism, once again, as we know it today. As we document in our book, the radical Islam that the Mufti and his followers espoused during the 1930s and 1940s has today become dominant in much of the Islamic world and has continued to be the ideological source and inspiration for global anti-Semitism, jihad, and terrorism throughout the latter half of the 20th century and into the 21st. And we argue that the challenge of terror from radical Islam is the great issue of our time. As Adolf Hitler and Haj Amin al-Husseini were decisively defeated in their day, the new icons of evil must be unconditionally vanquished in ours.
Rabbi Dallin, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you so much for having me on your show. I was delighted to be your guest today, and I'm tremendously appreciative.
Savage.
Zechariah talks about what could be considered nuclear war, and it shall come to pass in that day that there shall not be light but heavy clouds and thick. You hear this? And there shall be one day which shall be known as the Lord's, not day and not night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time there shall be light. And it shall come to pass in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. It's frightening. I mean, it really makes your hair stand up because it's pretty ugly what's coming. He says, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. If this doesn't sound like what's going on right now, it seems to me all the nations of the world are lined up against Jerusalem right now. It seems all the nations are lined up against Jerusalem, except the nation of Christianity here in America. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity. But the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. And when he fighteth in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives. Shall I stop this right now? Read it for yourself. It's in Zechariah 14. So he actually, in this Zechariah, predicts that Israel shall be attacked, the city shall be razed, half the city shall be taken into captivity, and at that point, God steps in. And at that point, you'll have to see how this story comes out. It says, because it goes like this, and it shall come to pass in that day that there shall not be light, but heavy clouds and thick. So the Israelis then go nuclear, and they incinerate Iran, they incinerate Syria, they incinerate their enemies. And it shall come to pass in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall the Lord be one and his name one. All the land shall be turned. I don't want to read anymore because many of you don't believe in this. And I don't know whether to believe in it. And this shall be the plague where the Lord will smite all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. You're listening to this one? If this is not a description of nuclear destruction of the Iranian people and the Syrian people, I'd like to know a better clinical description than what I'm going to read to you. I'll read it to you. It is a description of the after effects of a nuclear holocaust upon Iran and upon Syria. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their sockets. And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And they shall lay hold every one in the hand of his neighbor. And his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. So it's terrible. It's terrible, but that is what the psychopath from Iran wants. The psychopath from Iran is trying to annihilate the Jewish people. He stands up with that dirty smirk on his face every day and says, the death of Israel is near. The Jews shall be driven into the sea. We shall destroy it. This is every day. And those pimps at the UN, those whoremongering pimps at the UN say nothing. Those dirty, useless pimps in the UN, I have nothing but utter guttered contempt for all of them. They're worthless, all of them. They say nothing. Instead, they attack America. They attack Israel. And they wonder why we, the people who know what's going on, want those degenerate bums thrown out of the east side. Don't get me started. Don't get me started because I can get really good started here. The UN, I spit on them. Worthless. But God will take care of them in the end, I can guarantee you. But what I've read to you before I got emotionally wrapped up in this is a perfect clinical description of what happens to people with the effects of a nuclear bomb. Well, let's look at the stories that made it up on the michaelsavage.com website, which is really quite a sight in that I collect stories from all the media, and frankly, it reflects what I think is very important. So here they go. From Debka File, Israeli troops are still outside Hamas rocket strongholds. They have not gone in. Israel consolidates hold on parts of the Gaza Strip. Franken to be declared Senate victor in Minnesota. That means he stole it. With hundreds of millions of dollars, or God knows how many dollars, from Soros and other wonderful individuals, they've challenged every vote for the opposition Republican senator and given it to this stupid, degenerate left-wing clown. Funny business in Minnesota. You're right, it is. Sean Penn, deemed a useful idiot for having been duped by Castro gangsters. Fabulous article by Roger Cohen from the New York Times. The article is really worth reading. Burris going to Washington as fate remains in question. Wonderful article. Irish economy's rise was steep and the fall was fast. And you got to look at that story. There's another interesting story about Sean Penn, who's a very good actor, but a total disconnect when it comes to writing and speaking. It seems that when Penn loses his script, he loses his grip. It says, and I don't know if this is true, that gossip mongers in Hollywood are saying that Mickey Rourke is calling Penn a phony, a homophobe. He said he's an old friend of mine, and for him to play Harvey Milk is quite a joke because he's really the most homophobic or one of the most homophobic guys I know, or something to that extent. And I write, gee, Penn a phony, you think? Bill Richardson caught in scandal withdraws. Now, this is interesting. I love all the headlines about Bill Richardson. He's stepping down. Bill Richardson is stepping down. Bill Richardson is stepping down. Bill Richardson is withdrawing his nomination. No, my friends, he's not stepping down and he's not withdrawing. He was caught in a red-hot scandal. Pay and you get some play. Remember, this is the same Bill Richardson who was in charge of the Los Alamos nuclear laboratory. Remember, files got stolen or disappeared? And remember, there was a suspicious fire that burned about 100 acres? That's the same Bill Richardson. Thank God he's gone. Another article was Travolta's loss avoidable. That's the propaganda coming out of the media, and I resent it. I don't like the attack on John Travolta when he's lost a son. Shame on any of you in the media for doing this. The problem is most of you don't have children. The problem is most of you are perverts. The problem is most of you make so little money that you're jealous of anybody who makes money. The problem is you should be ashamed of yourself attacking a man who just lost a son, attacking him because he's a Scientologist, not like you, a drug-taking, pill-popping, pot-smoking bum in the media. Go to heck, all of you.
Savage.